Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Hello, I'm Tristan Riddell.
And I'm the girl.
And this is Nerd Nuptial Episode 49. Today, we're going to be talking about Lemony Snicket's A Series of Unfortunate Events on Netflix. But before we get into that, we just want to say thank you so much for being a listener and doing everything that you guys do by subscribing, downloading, liking. And we're getting more and more just interaction on Twitter and Facebook. It's constantly growing. And actually, we had a post on Facebook just over the weekend.
Yeah.
Go crazy on online. We're talking like thousands of likes and hundreds of comments and, you know, like reaching an audience of almost a million or something like that. And like our listenership and our web traffic spiked, and all it was a deleted scene from The Force Awakens of Chewie ripping out Unkar Platt's arm and then throwing it across the room.
Yeah, it's like a 30-second.
Not even. It's like a 10-second
right?
clip.
10-second
it's
clip.
A 10-second clip. And I found it early online one day. I was just like, oh, this is fun. And so I just uploaded it to Facebook and then...
Yeah, so hopefully we get more listeners that way, too.
Yeah, it would be nice. So, yeah, if you're listening because of Chewie, we want to say welcome.
Absolutely.
Welcome to the Nerd Nuptial family. Welcome to the Nerd Party family. Please go to thenerdparty.com and check out all of our shows. We have new content coming to you every single day of the week, and we just introduced a new show called Outpost, a Harry Potter podcast, and where they review a new chapter of Harry Potter every single week. One chapter every single week. This is some intense analysis, and that is what you get here at the Nerd Party. Now, this weekend has been kind of crazy.
It has.
For us. Yeah. Do you want to tell the listeners why it's been a little crazy?
We had our baby shower on Saturday.
Second baby shower.
Second baby shower. Yeah, we are pretty lucky. We got two. So, yeah, we actually haven't had a lot of time just to relax because we had planned on, I mean, with Lemony Snicket's coming out, that's usually our binge weekends when new things come out on Netflix. But I think it was a good trade-off for the shower. we got a lot of awesome stuff.
we did get a lot of cool stuff, and we got some people who shipped things in, and we got some people who showed up, and some people were unable to make it due to weather, but that's what happens when you start having a baby in January and February.
I know.
In Northern Illinois.
Seriously.
But it was really awesome. But actually, like you said, I mean, we tried to watch Lemony Snicket's, and usually, like you said, like we watch it in one sitting.
Yeah.
You know, if we can, or like two. But this was because we were so busy, we had to split it up. And this, I think this is just good training.
For when the baby comes?
When she actually comes. Yeah. like it's training for House of Cards season 5.
That's right. That's right. We gotta prepare ourselves. Didn't you just the other day ask me, and you're like, oh, yeah, she'll just, like, go to sleep, right, when we're watching? I'm like, yeah, that's how that'll work, I'm sure. That's what I've heard.
I kept making that joke with a friend of mine online. Well, I mean, he's a fellow co-host, Philip Gilfus, on SETI Alpha 3, which everyone should check out at thenerdparty.com. It's a Star Trek show. He was talking, like, he said that he legit laughed out loud when we were talking about House of Cards season 5 and binge-watching once the baby was here. And I said, I was like, no, you don't understand. Like, some friends of ours, they had a baby, and then they watched, like, all of Mad Men. And he's like, sure, Jan. Sure.
That's funny.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I think we're a little afraid.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I hear life is going to change.
I think so.
People have told me. Like, maybe they're lying, but I feel like people have told me that your life's going to change when you have a kid.
I think that with this shower, I think reality definitely set in for both of us.
Yes.
Just because we have most of her stuff. I mean, we were, like, so lucky that people just gave us so much stuff. That we don't have to go and buy that much. Honestly, we have to go buy stuff that we like just want for her now.
Yeah.
Which is such a cool feeling. Like with all the our gift card money. I feel like such a little kid when I have gift cards. I'm like, okay, how much can I buy this for?
Like if I use this gift card that Uncle Gary gave me and then I use this cash that Aunt Penny gave me, Dad, I'm only $10 short of the Millennium Falcon. That is a legit thing
I know.
That happened.
I completely believe you. I even believe the names because I know.
You know those people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's what we're going to do today after.
That's true.
Yeah.
As soon as we're done recording, we're going to take our bounty of gift cards and go to Babies R Us. And I never thought I would ever be this excited
to get
a gift card to Babies R Us.
Actually, it did surprise me. You are really excited.
I am. I want to go. I want to go buy some nipples. You know, like I'm just super excited.
Well, you buy those nipples.
And I want the purple kind because
okay.
It's cool.
Okay, all right.
And I know, like, I want Doc Brown's violet purple nipples.
We're not getting paid by them.
No, we're not. Like, but hey, Doc Brown's, if you're listening, if you want to be a sponsor of the show, you can. But, like, I never thought I would know this much.
About baby stuff?
About baby stuff.
Well, especially since, I don't know if we've ever talked about it, but neither one of us have ever changed a diaper.
No, never.
So we're kind of, like, completely oblivious. We took classes and we talked about that on the show.
Yes.
But...
Did we talk about it on the show?
I think so.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So. Never. Like anybody who's listening, who's thinking about having a kid or is about to have a kid, don't take an all day class. Like they say, like, okay, you can split it up over 3 weekends or you can do it all in one day. And we're like, oh, let's just get it out of the way. No.
No,
okay.
We zoned out at like 10 o'clock in the morning.
It was 8 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon
with a
break for lunch. And you shut down.
Yeah.
You shut down at the 11 o'clock.
Even though I'm a teacher, I forgot how hard it is to pay attention for that long. I was like, oh man, oh, this is rough.
It is rough, yeah.
Yeah.
But no, I'm excited. And it's kind of like, it's kind of like when, you don't know this, but like as a young man, when you're thinking about asking your best girl to marry you.
Your best girl.
And you have to research rings. You learn everything there is to know about diamonds and about rings.
Well, you should. Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what the different cuts mean. You know, you understand the price difference between 1 carat and 2 carats and how it's not just another number. And that's kind of how I felt with all this baby stuff is that like when I was like, oh, yesterday I tried, like, that's the thing is like our story is trying to maintain our nerd life while mixing in the baby stuff that we need to do.
That's how it's changed. I mean, last February when we started the show, I mean, we didn't know this was going to happen.
Yeah.
So.
No, we
were trying, but yeah.
We weren't pregnant yet.
Yeah. So.
But now we're trying to mix everything
right.
Instead of let one thing dominate the other.
It's true.
So like while you were trying to get ready and attend a baby shower, we were trying to sneak in as much Lemony Snicket as we could.
It's true.
And then yesterday I went over to a friend's house to play some tabletop games. We were playing the Dead of Winter and Pandemic and things like that. And at the same time, I was like, hey, Ben, I brought over my car seat. Can you help me install it in the back of my car? Because he has a kid. And it's just so... It like that's life now.
Yeah, yeah. It's very different.
Like we'll always be nerds. This is why this show is called Nerd Nuptial. Is because it's about our marriage and us being nerds, and that's kind of what we're going through right now.
Absolutely.
We're trying to balance basically media and
balance, yeah, exactly. Binge watching
and preparing for a child.
That's right.
But no, it's true. Like it this shower kinda kicked it in gear for me. Like mm-hmm. when we finally because we had the crib for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And we decorated the room and then our parents, mm-hmm. both sets,
both grandparents
mm-hmm. got the mattress for the crib, which was one major thing that was lacking.
Mm-hmm.
And right when I put it in and then put my hand on the mattress to see how soft it was, I take a look to the left to see where my movies are now and look at where they used to be. And then realize like how soft this is going to be and how my future child, my current child,
right.
Once she comes out, is going to be laying on this mattress. I was like, oh God. Oh geez, everything's going to change.
So true. So true. Yeah. It's funny what moments kind of hit you mm-hmm. where you're like, oh, okay, this is real now.
And like we were in bed watching Aliens the other day
mm-hmm.
and we're just like, oh yeah, little baby's just going to be right here in between us watching Aliens.
That's right. That's right. That's the idea.
And she will watch Aliens with us.
Of course she will.
Because that's quality entertainment.
That's right.
None of this.
She won't be afraid or anything.
No, none of this baby Einstein bullcrap. No, she's watching Ripley. But yeah, it's true. Like, yeah, there's these things that you just kind of have to prepare for, and then you realize things are going to change, and yeah, it's pretty
it'll be
crazy.
Interesting how the podcast changes when she actually is here.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, like listeners, be wary. Like, we're gonna try to bank.
Yeah, we're gonna try.
We're gonna try to record a few evergreen episodes that we can launch once the baby comes. So, like, if you hear us like doing like a commentary on something,
yeah,
it'll probably be like, hey, if you're listening to this, that means the baby's here.
Seriously, yeah.
So that'll probably be coming in late February, but we still have some time.
A little bit.
And actually, you know, speaking of which, since commentaries are so easy, or just in general, like if you guys. Since we won't be able to do too many things that are topical when the baby comes here, at least for the first couple of weeks, please write us in and let us know what you'd like us to talk about, like like non-topical stuff, or like it's just like, oh, you know, like don't tell us like, oh, go see this movie in the theaters right now and then report back. Don't say stuff like that. But like tell us some evergreen stuff, you know, stuff that could last for a while, or
absolutely,
or like go to thenerdparty.com/contact. And from there, you can select Nerd Nuptial from the menu, fill out the form. And then send us a letter. And from there, just tell us like, oh, that'd be cool if you did a commentary on this episode of television. Or, you know, did a commentary on this movie. Or talked about your favorite subjects from this old show. I don't know. Something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be helpful. We haven't done that in a long time. We haven't asked for
We haven't asked for listener suggestions. We get a few here and there. But but yeah, like this is our call. Listener suggestions, file in.
Yeah.
Now, before we get to Lemony Snickets, I want to tease the audience even further. So one of my favorite Christmas presents that I got this year.
Oh, yeah.
Though that's another adjustment, is that like when you're about to have a baby and it's the Christmas before you have a baby.
Yeah.
You like leading up to it, I'm just, and you said to me, you're like, what did you say to me?
Oh, I was like, we have to just ask for baby stuff.
And I was kicking and screaming.
You were like a little
months.
Kid. You were like a little kid. You were like, no, I don't want to. I want comic books and I want movies. And I'm like, really? Really?
It's true. It's true. It's I was kicking and screaming. I was just like, no. And that's how I sounded. I was like, no, I want to just give me like one comic book. Come on. Like, how much does one comic book cost? But then as you get closer to Christmas and as you get closer to the birth date, and you start researching how much kids cost, you're just like, no, just give me cash. Give me cash for the baby.
Seriously. Diaper money would be great.
Yeah, just give me diaper money. Put it in a jar labeled diaper money. I don't care. Just do something like that.
Seriously.
But anyway, one of my favorite gifts was Two Guys and a Girl.
Yeah, it was.
Formerly known as Two Guys and a Girl in the Pizza Place. Mm-hmm. And it was the complete series on DVD. And some of you are probably like, why on earth would that be your favorite Christmas present? An old 90s show sitcom on ABC.
Because it's an old 90s show and they're awesome.
Old 90s sitcoms are amazing.
That's right.
It was a part of TGIF.
That's right.
And, you know, we've talked about how great TGIF is.
Oh, yeah. And I think a few Christmases past, like, I've asked for, like, one time my brother got me all of Boy Meets World, which was awesome. And, like we started buying all the home improvements.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's just fun to go back and watch those things. They're from the 90s or what you grew up with.
Yeah, it's you know, like we all kind of cling to the stuff that we grow up with, and 90s sitcoms is our era, and it's just I've said it on the show before that like when you look at sitcoms of the past, like you look at 70s and 80s, they usually said something. They had a message. Mm-hmm. They had an important thing to say. And then when you got to the 90s, it was less important messages, but it was at least, you know, usually quality writing and quality entertainment and not just, as I've said before, dick jokes.
Right.
And or like, let's see how, you know, like how raunchy we can be and get it past the censors. But with Two Guys and a Girl, the main thing about, you know, like about why it was so cool to have it is because this was the first time it was released on DVD in the States.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's 2016. It was 2016.
Yeah. That's such a long time.
Super long time. And I started researching it as to why, because it was released in the UK years ago, but unless you have a region free player, you know, like you can't watch those on American DVD players or Blu-ray players. And it was just always so annoying, and I kept trying to do some research. And there's so many of these old shows that in the 90s or in the early 2000s, it was the music licensing wasn't prepped for home video.
Mm-hmm.
And so like a TV show on home video, like VHS or DVD, was extremely rare in the 90s or early 2000s. And so when they licensed the music for the television show, they didn't write in like, oh, and for home video too.
Right, right.
And so you would have long legal battle, not legal battles, but like, well, I mean like yeah, copyright battles, sure, like trying to get it on home video. And some shows had to, some old shows had to replace the soundtrack. Like Charmed. Like the Charmed DVDs, they don't have the theme song. Oh, the theme.
Yeah, because you were going to show it to me and you were like, oh, I love the theme song of this, the opener. And then we put it in and you're like, what?
Yeah, what is this?
This is not right.
What nonsense is this? Yeah, it was insane. And I found out that's why Alan McBeal didn't come out on DVD for such a long time, because of mm-hmm. the music. That was a very music heavy show, mm-hmm. but you could get it in the UK. So UK must have lax copyright laws anyway.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm sorry. You can tell that all this pent up anger and frustration is just coming out, because I'm sure you guys are riveted about copyright law in the UK when it comes to music and home video releases.
These are the discussions we have on a daily basis.
It's true. Like, so you guys go. Just got another peek into our relationship. No lie, this is what we talk about. I'm kind of embarrassed. Oh, jeez.
Well, you got it, and we watched it, and I had not seen, I think maybe I'd seen like a few episodes here and there.
Only a handful.
Yeah, and then we watched them, and the first season, but then when it changed formats, and it was much more...
Yeah.
It was a lot more fun, and it was interesting. It was one of those moments where we were like sad that we ran out of episodes. So.
It's true. And that's kind of why I brought it up is yeah, that when you have this show that was canceled before its time,
mm-hmm.
you have that moment of, oh, that's it?
Yeah.
That's
there's
it.
There's no closure.
Yeah, there's no closure, and there's no hope of
right,
any closure.
Right.
Like, there's no way in Hades that there's going to be a two guys and a girl reunion episode.
No, not popular enough.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't right. popular enough, but like it had, I mean, it had a lot of viewers. I mean, like, now granted, it was a network show,
mm-hmm.
but you know, like it had more viewers than The Walking Dead.
Okay. Oh, wow.
You know, like at its peak, it had more viewers than The Walking Dead. And you know, but that's the thing, is that like when you have cable versus network, it's hard to
true,
compare the numbers.
That's true.
But that's still a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, like at its peak, it had 17 million people who watched it. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But not enough for network to keep it going.
Right.
And I was all about it when I was a kid. I watched it. I loved it. Even when it changed formats. Like, I especially love it more when it changed formats. And so I definitely recommend it to you guys, because it has Ryan Reynolds, who
yeah.
is a big name now,
mm-hmm.
and it also has Nathan Fillion, which is a big name in nerddom.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's kind of where they both got their rise.
Yeah.
Was in Two Guys and a Girl in a Pizza Place.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds obviously has like the more dominant role, because, you know, he's like one of the guys.
From, yeah.
But Nathan Fillion, it's just fun to see them mm-hmm. kind of starting out.
And you can tell, like, they're still them.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
absolutely.
They're very strong personalities.
Absolutely.
And you can tell that's why they're popular, is because that's them.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, they got a hit movie and then they're popular now because they're a recognizable name. It's like, no, they have charisma
and
talent, and it just snowballed.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so everyone should check it out, because I think it's really great.
Yeah.
And now that it's available on DVD, and I had old VHS copies that were transferred to the computer, and they were god-awful copies, but yet I watched those over and over again.
Yeah, we did.
And now I have the DVDs, and it's amazing. All right. Well, speaking of television series, or at least streaming nowadays... Let's talk about Lemony Snicket's A Series of Unfortunate Events.
Okay.
So it aired on a couple days ago.
Yeah.
So January 13th, 14th, something like that.
I think it was the 13th.
Yeah, somewhere around in there.
Yeah.
And it,
totally 13th.
Mm-hmm. In Netflix fashion, it dropped the entire season on one day.
Mm-hmm.
And this one was 8 episodes.
And I like that number.
It's weird how that works.
Yeah. I feel like a few years ago we were complaining about that.
Yeah.
But now I'm all about
yeah.
like the tighter... seasons.
It's funny because we're like, okay, well, seasons are now 13 episodes. And we're like, that's good. No more, no less than that. And then all of a sudden we started seeing 10 and we're like, come on, guys, this is ridiculous. And then Stranger Things came out with 8. You're just like, oh my gosh, how fewer can it get? But then once we finished Stranger Things, we're like, no, that was good.
Yeah.
That was a perfect amount of episodes for that story.
And I think that that's how it was with this one too. Mm-hmm. It was, okay, this many was about as much as I really wanted to watch.
Actually, yeah, before we get into that, yeah, like, because I have some definite opinions about that.
Okay.
Because all right. For those of you who don't know.
We haven't talked about it.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. We have not talked about it. We finished it last night. And for those of you who don't know, Lemony Snicket's a Series of Unfortunate Events is a set of children's novels, mm-hmm. or children's books. Mm-hmm. And there's 13 of them. And some of you probably have heard of the movie that came out in 2004.
And who was in that?
Jim Carrey,
that's right.
Count Olaf.
That's right.
And I don't know the kids' names, but there was like Meryl Streep was in it.
Yeah.
Billy Connolly, Catherine O'Hara, who is actually in the TV show as well.
Right.
Playing a different character. The movie was directed by a guy named Barry Sonnenfeld. He's done some other cool things. I think he's best known for directing Men in Black. And he was actually involved in developing this show, the Netflix show.
So that's why it kind of feels like the movie?
Yes, yes, okay. Very much so. And he was also a producer, and I think he might have written... No, I think he directed a few episodes. And so he was... Yeah, this was... That's why you can...
His influence.
That's why visually you can tell, like, oh, it has the same kind of aesthetic.
Yeah, there was even times where I was like, is that the same set?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think the movie was 100% in studio.
Okay.
They were never on location.
Okay.
And in the Netflix show, that you could tell that it was a mix of on location and in studio and everything like that, because I think they filmed in Canada.
Okay.
And but they also did a lot of things on set, and that's actually one thing I wanted to talk to you about is the show itself had kind of it had that weird aesthetic where it would mix CGI and blue screen, and but it was fakey on purpose.
Yeah, I totally bought into it. I feel like you kind of got into that world, and it didn't really bother me at all.
Yeah.
How about you?
No, it didn't bother me because, like, right out of the gate, like when we saw A Bad Beginning, which is the first two episodes, mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I'm on board. I like this. I like this aesthetic.
Yeah.
I like that it's weird. It tells you that this is a world that's not your own,
mm-hmm.
but yet it mimics your own a lot. Like they kind of had a mixture of technologies where they had
it was almost like steampunk
esque, yeah.
Like, well, especially with like the spy glasses and
yes.
You know, and yet it still was, I guess modern. You don't really know what time it's in.
Well, they had cars from the 70s. They had cars from the 50s. They had cell phones and talked about online and streaming. But at the same time, they had those old phones that you put up to your ear and then speak into
right.
the body. And like, yeah, it was a mixture of the old and new. It was steampunk. You're right. I think
yeah.
That's pretty apt. But okay, so right off the bat, like, what did you think about the overall show? Did you like the tone? Did you think they tackled it well? First impressions after we said, like, okay, we're
done with it.
Yeah.
I think it was just okay.
Just okay.
It was just okay.
Okay,
yeah.
So why do you say that?
Because I started to get bored, and I started to kind of be like, okay, 8 is about as many episodes as I can take.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that I felt that way makes me say that it was just okay. You know, I thought that the acting was good. I thought, you know, they knew who they were. I really liked the Lemony Snicket's character, you know, throughout and how he was explaining. And mm-hmm. Did they have that in the movie?
In the movie, Lemony Snicket's was played by Jude Law, and he was the narrator. But he was a passive narrator. He wasn't involved like Patrick Warburton was.
Okay.
And I read that in the books, the narrator slowly becomes more and more a part of the story.
Okay.
And in this one, we know right out of the gate that Lemony Snicket's is a part of their world,
mm-hmm.
is an actual person who has interacted with their parents and the secret society and
right,
everything like
right.
that. In the movie, Jude Law was always in the shadows, and it's like he was writing the story as he was telling it to you.
Okay.
And so that was the method that they used.
I liked this a lot more. I thought it was fun. It was entertaining. Like, I think it was my favorite part.
The narrator was my absolute favorite part, which is so weird of me to say, because you wouldn't really think that a piece of narration would be your favorite part of the series or the movie.
It's true.
Like in Arrested Development, we love the narrator there, but it's not our favorite part.
Yeah, you wouldn't say like, oh, that's my favorite.
Yeah, my favorite character is the narrator. Nobody says that.
No.
And if you're saying that right now to me, you're lying. Just to be special and different.
I thought the kids did a good job. I think they were chosen well for those characters.
Yeah.
Personally, I feel like those characters don't have a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah. It's.
I mean, I know they're going through like a really rough time, but they're not my favorite characters.
I got you.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, because I think it kind of goes to the style of the show, the style of the story, because Patrick Warburton's character, Lemony Snicket's the narrator, he has a very deadpan delivery. And I love his deadpan delivery.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's a dry sense of humor, but it's not emotionless. It's just deadpan. And I think that's the beauty that is Patrick Warburton.
Time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that's kind of the way with the kids, is where they're a little emotionless until it's an extreme.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of Neil Patrick Harris's Olaf?
I thought it was fun. I think that he was Neil Patrick Harris in most of it. Playing Count Olaf. So I felt like he's kind of one of those actors now that you're like, oh, that's Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah.
And I couldn't really necessarily like see him as just Olaf.
It's true.
Because he's Neil Patrick Harris.
Like, you're absolutely right. Neil Patrick Harris was hired in the show to be Neil Patrick Harris and just in Olaf makeup. It's true. Like, he's joined the ranks of like Christopher Walken, where
you're hiring Christopher Walken.
You're hiring Christopher Walken, and you know what you get.
Right.
And it's interesting, because did you like him more or less than Jim Carrey as Olaf?
It's been a while since I saw the movie,
okay.
So I don't know how fair that would be. I think that I liked him. I think I liked Neil Patrick Harris more. Just because I think it was more, like, maybe more fun in some ways, in certain aspects, and yet in some other aspects I felt it was a little cheesy.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, we'll have to watch the movie again.
Yeah, we'll have to.
I had that gut instinct of, oh, we should watch the movie now to compare, and I'm like, you know what? I don't want to deal with the subject matter again. And
that's telling too.
That's true, because with this TV show, it was 8 episodes, and it was 2 episodes per book, and so it was 4 books, and I kind of felt like we could have banged out 1 book in 1 episode.
Yeah, I can see that, especially considering the structure of the movie.
Yeah.
Because how many books was the movie covering?
The movie was covering 3 books.
Because we didn't get to the mill in the movie.
No, we didn't get to the mill in the movie. In the movie, it was a 3-act structure. Each book was 1 act.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was about 30 to 40 minutes, maybe even a little less, per act. And so it didn't get repetitive. I didn't feel that repetitive nature. But when I watched the TV show, I was like, oh my God. Okay, let's get going. Like, because it followed the same structure every single time. Where,
well, it's basically like a movie per book.
Yeah.
Basically, like, time-wise.
Because you have, like, it was 40 minutes to an hour per episode. You have 2 episodes per book. That's a movie per book.
Yeah.
And so...
Now that I'm thinking about that, I don't think it necessarily needed to.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
See, because, it's like in the TV show, it's a movie per book. And in the movie, it's a book per act. And... that is extremely truncated, but I didn't feel that repetitive nature while watching the movie. So,
but I mean, the nature of Lemony Snicket's is repetitive as well.
Yes.
So, you know.
That's what kind of made me wonder, is this a kid's show? Is it not? Because I'm thinking, okay, well, you know, kids love repetition. They add a lot of repetition into kids' stories so that they get the idea.
True.
They're like, they drill a kid's head with this idea so that they can understand what's going on and they can follow the plot structure. And that's why I was kind of, that's why I kept arguing within myself. I was like, okay, well, if it's a kid's show, then I can forgive certain things. If it's not a kid's show, then I need to hold it to a higher standard. Like some of the acting, some of the delivery, some of the story, some of the editing.
True. I don't know.
I'm in this weird limbo on how I should judge it.
It's hard for me to like think about it because we don't have kids, obviously, that age. So it's hard to kind of figure out, like, would I show my kid who is, you know, age appropriate this?
Right.
I don't know.
See, I have no idea either because
there's kids' books. Like, the kids are reading, you know, those books or read those books, you know.
But, like, how old, though? Like, that's the thing. True. Is that, like, what is age appropriate for this if it's for kids? Because, okay, so, like, we talked about the shower. When you were having your shower, I went out with your dad and our friend Aaron and his two little girls. He has a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old. And we went out to lunch and had a great time. And then we played bocce. And that was the first time I ever played bocce. And then as we were driving home, the 4-year-old had a Woody doll. And it was like a legit Woody doll. It was the type of Woody doll that it's how he would exist if he was in real life.
Okay.
And same size and material and everything.
Toy
like
Story
that.
Woody doll.
Toy Story. Yeah. Did I just say Woody?
I don't know.
Yeah. It's like Woody from Toy Story.
Yeah.
And so I leaned back. She was in her car seat, and I said, "I was like, hey, what's your favorite Toy Story film?" And she goes, "Toy Story." And I'm like, "Oh, the first one." I was like, "What did you think of second and the third one?" She's like, "Toy Story." I was like, "Okay." And then Aaron turns to me. He's like, "Yeah, we've only shown her the first one." I was like, "Oh, well, why not the second one? I mean, the second and third one are really great." And he goes, "Well, they kind of up the sadness factor in Toy Story 2. And so I don't think she's quite ready for that. And she's definitely not ready for Toy Story 3. And it kind of hit me. And I was like, oh, is Toy Story 2 and Toy Story 3 not good for kids of all ages?
And I didn't even think about that.
I didn't even think about it either.
Yeah. Right now, I'm just like, wait a minute. Yeah, I guess... especially if they're really sensitive and like their toy is being put through something. I can imagine maybe like, you know, I mean, I felt a lot of anxiety during the furnace scene. So,
well, if you didn't, then you're not human. Okay. You don't have a soul.
That's right. Well, you know, if, and a little kid, if they're seeing, you know, their toys almost perish, I can imagine that they'd be like crying. I mean, I was like, we were like laughing, like nervously laughing / crying during it. So yeah,
just because I couldn't believe what the filmmakers were doing to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
It wasn't laughing because I thought it was funny. I was laughing because I was so
anxious.
I was so anxious and in awe of what the filmmakers were making me feel.
Absolutely. So I mean, imagine if I was a little kid. I was 4 years old.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to separate the fact that. I don't know. Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Well, like even you and I will skip the Jesse scene in the second
one.
That's
true. I don't like that scene.
You really don't like that scene.
I don't.
Every once in a while, I'll just lean over and go, "In somebody
stop. Stop. I hate that. Now it's going to be stuck in my head.
But yeah, no, it's sad. It's sad. And so if you have the toy, like she's holding the toy and then she's looking on screen and she's like, "Oh crap, you know, like my toy is sad on screen. Does that mean I'm holding a sad toy?" You know, like it makes those things. And
yeah, I mean, I guess, although the Sid scene in Toy Story 1, this first one, like with him torturing the toys, I would imagine.
That's true. That can get a little weird.
Yeah.
But you also like you also like the villains a bit more, like you like Lotso and.
Oh, that's true. I actually do enjoy the sad part of the Lotso storyline in Toy Story 3. I love it when they get left and then they go back to the house and Lotso takes Big Baby's locket off and says, "She don't love you anymore."
And he just throws it on the ground and stomps
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I love that part.
You say that every once in a while, like, "She don't love you no more." So funny.
Yeah, but it's a villain. I guess it's
a villain. Yeah.
Then,
but yeah. So that's the thing is that like I'm sure some parents are just laughing at us right now. You know, like we're listening to this, going like, "Oh, you have no idea what will affect your child and what won't."
That's true. I mean, there's some stuff when I was a kid that there's really no explanation of why that bothered me.
Yeah.
So I guess that's true. I don't know. I don't know if this is for kids or not.
I don't know either because here's the thing is that.
I feel like the way that they were playing it up, I feel like it was for adults.
So I feel the opposite.
You feel the opposite?
Because I feel like they were playing it up for kids. Because here's the thing. Alfre Woodard's character, Josephine, all right?
Didn't really care for that.
Yeah, I didn't really like that storyline. But Alfre Woodard is an amazing actress.
She's amazing.
She is a brilliant dramatic actress. And I fell in love with her ever since the 90s when I saw her in Heart and Souls with Robert Downey Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, has she aged well.
Yeah, no kidding.
She's looked the same for 20 years.
Seriously.
It's unnatural. but she's an amazing actress. And then they brought her in. And when I heard that she was going to be in this one, I was like, oh, I got really excited.
Mm-hmm.
But then she started playing it like a kid's movie. And so she was overacting. And she was overdramatic. She was acting like she was acting. And
I felt that sometimes with Neil Patrick Harris, too.
Yeah, and that's the thing. But you didn't always feel that way with Neil Patrick
Harris.
Not
always.
And so there was some acting in the show where I was like, oh, this is for adults. And there's some acting where I was like, oh, it's for kids. And Alfre Woods' character acting was like, oh, she doesn't know. Like, she doesn't know if this is a kid's TV show or an adult TV show.
Yeah.
And because I don't feel like she made the decision to be adult or kid, she was in this kind of uncanny valley of acting where you don't know.
Well, it's because there was some dramatic scenes with her, and yet there was, you know, she's kind of trying to overplay the, you know, how scared she was of everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And so that's why I kept wondering, is it a kid show? Is it not? And because just the same way with the fakey aesthetic, there were certain things when I was like, oh, that's done fakey on purpose. But there were other things when I'm like, ooh.
Like what?
Well, okay, so like at the end when they had like a V of birds in the sky.
Oh, yeah.
That was clearly fake,
but
it was supposed to be an emotional moment, and it took me out of it because it wasn't that fakey aesthetic that they do. It was bad CGI.
Okay.
But as opposed to the lizards, which were obviously fake, like in the reptile room, that's okay.
Right.
Because they were obviously fake and done for the look and the feel of it. But then there was also sometimes when, like, the frame rate was a little weird and they mix-matched CGI, a blue screen looks where, like, sometimes the colors were off and it wasn't done on purpose when I'm just like, ooh. Like,
it just wasn't done well.
Yeah, there was just things back and forth, and, like, it's a hard balancing act. I think overall they did a good job with the look, though, the look and the feel.
Oh, yeah, I think so, too. But there were certain times when it was kind of like, okay. Like, there was a moment when Josephine was on the jet ski thing.
Oh, my God.
And she was, like, acting like it was going really fast. And the background was not moving behind her.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
Like, ooh, guys.
Yeah. I mean, I don't notice as much of that type of stuff as you do. But that one, I was like, oh.
Yeah, that was a painful cut.
Yeah.
That was bad editing.
Well, and we kept playing the game, is that a real baby?
Yes, let's talk about that. Okay, so, here's the thing. Like, filming with an infant is insane. It's horrible. It's a hateful process.
You've had experience with that.
I have had some experience with it, and it's everything always goes wrong. It's just a pain in the butt. And, like, normally you do it with twins.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why you do it with twins is because there's only so much time you can have a infant on set.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you reach that legal limit, you swap it out with the other twin, and then you keep filming. Or if one gets fussy, you swap it out with the other twin. And so you just move forward. It's that kind of process works. But this one, they didn't use twins because they used a lot of CGI head replacement. So there was three types of baby. There was real baby, CGI baby, and doll baby.
Yeah. Doll baby was super obvious.
Actually, I guess there was four types, because there was full CGI baby that they used, like when she was chewing through the log.
Oh, yeah.
That was a full CGI. And then there was CGI head replacement. They used that one a lot. And so the thing is, though, is that once you notice it, you can't unnotice it.
It's so true.
And so we actually would play the game of CGI baby, fake baby.
Whenever I looked at the kids, that's all I was looking at was the baby.
That's
Sunny.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is not probably good, because I was probably missing things.
I know, like, so was I. Like, my eyes were always on the baby. Maybe it's because we're about to have one.
Maybe.
But yeah, at the same time, we were playing that game of, is it a doll? Is it CGI head replacement? Is it CGI? Or is it a real baby?
Right.
And it became a game. And so that was...
It's probably not a good thing.
Probably not. But the thing is, I forgive them.
Yeah, because it's a baby.
It's a baby, and they're in crazy situations.
Mm-hmm.
They're, you know, it's just, I'm sure it was a lot easier just to do that. And it was like, since they're already going for a weird CGI blue screen look.
Right.
I'm sure they were just kind of like, why not?
Right. This is easier.
Yeah.
Yeah. What'd you think about Neil Patrick Harris's portrayal?
I thought he was fine. I like Neil Patrick Harris. And so, like,
yeah,
if you like Neil Patrick Harris, you'll like this.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like Neil Patrick Harris, then you won't like this. You know,
yeah.
Like, it's... It was funny. Like I really liked him in the first one, and Stefano was entertaining. But then Captain Sham and then the secretary, I was just kind of like, oh my gosh,
yeah.
Like it was getting so repetitive. And
I agree.
Like we talked about, like that's the style of the show. But
yeah,
I started getting, as we moved on from the bad beginning to the reptile room to the wide window to the miserable mill, I started enjoying it less and less as time went on, because I really enjoy the opening. Reptile room was good. The wide window was kind of monotonous, and I just hated the miserable mill. What did you like?
It's interesting. You know, I will say though that I did ask you at one point, I was like, how many episodes are there? And the fact that I even did that probably is not good, because it was telling me that how many more do we have to watch? Is that bad? That's kind of bad, right?
Well, I mean, there's like this German word. I need to look it up, and you guys let me know. Like, you can email us by going to thenerdparty.com/contact and letting us know, where there's this word where you're at an event and you're having a good time, but you want it to be over. I feel that all the time.
Do you really?
All the time. Mainly because I'm like obsessed with you, and also I'm a homebody. But yeah, whenever I'm out and about and having a good time, or even if I'm watching a movie that, and I'm in the theater and it's doing really well and I'm really enjoying myself, or like I'm at some event, I'm just like, wow, this is awesome. I could go home. You know, I feel that all
That's
the time.
That's so funny.
Do you not feel that?
No, I don't feel that.
Oh, I feel that all the
time. That's so funny. I mean, I will feel it sometimes, but usually it's because I'm not having a great time.
No, this is a specific type of feeling when you're having a great time, but you're ready to go home.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I know there has to be a German word for it. I swear I saw that. But that wasn't this.
No, this was like, okay, I just want to kind of get through it.
Yeah.
I think my favorite was the reptile room.
Okay.
And then I think the miserable mill was interesting. And you hated it, huh?
I did.
Yeah.
I was miserable during the miserable mill. I was like, I am so done.
What if it was earlier? I mean, I know it doesn't make sense story wise, but would you have felt that way, or were you just like done with the series?
You know what? I think that would have been an interesting experiment. I think what if the miserable mill was after the reptile room? I don't know.
Okay. So, and then I would say the first one, the bad beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say the one with the window, because I just really don't like that storyline.
That's really funny that you say that, because I thought the bad beginning was the best, hands down.
Okay. Interesting.
That's really funny.
Huh.
But yeah, Reptile Room was good and colorful and fun, and it's before it got repetitive.
Yeah, I think that's why I like it was a happier storyline.
Yeah.
And I tend to gravitate towards those. Even though, I mean, come on, it's 20 seconds, so they're all gonna be depressing, but yeah. Yeah.
But see, the thing is, though, is that like once I have like when I was going through this repetitive nature, and when every book was two episodes, I was like, oh, my God. I mean, what is the second season going to be? Is it just going to be the same thing over and over and over and over again? But then once we got to the end of the show and they got to a boarding school instead of a guardian, I was like, oh, okay, maybe it'll be different. You know, like maybe this will usher in something different.
I wonder if it'll kind of feel like a Harry Potter-esque situation, though, where you have like mean headmaster. Like, I've never read them, so I have no idea.
Well, Paramount was hoping that this would be their Harry Potter.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when they made the movie in 2004, because they bought the rights in 2000.
Okay.
And they were hoping to compete with Warner Brothers' Harry Potter. Well, that didn't happen.
No, that did not happen.
And I think that's interesting, because I felt the same thing. Like when they did when they went to boarding school, and then you saw that picture of some of the characters that we've seen as younger, it was very Harry Potter-esque.
It was
extremely Harry Potter.
Yeah. So it's, I don't know. We'll see what happens in season two, but I think that there, at least it's not going to be the same structure as the first port books.
I'm hoping.
Hopefully. I don't know.
I'm hoping, because even from a book standpoint, I'd be like, wow, this is getting boring. But that was one good thing about the mill, is that I didn't know what was going to happen.
Yes.
Because if you've seen the movie, then you know what's going to happen all the way up until the wide window.
Mm-hmm.
because it's the first three books, and so is the movie. And
right.
And so I did enjoy that about The Miserable Mill, because I'm like, oh, cool, I don't know what's going to happen.
True.
But I still didn't like the story.
I understand that. I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, okay, anything different.
Yeah.
I'll take.
Yeah.
And I think that goes back to the fact that it's a children's book, that children like repetition.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, are we being too critical on it if it is a children's book?
But see, we're having this big, long conversation. We don't know how to treat it.
Well, and that, I think that's that's probably its flaw.
Yeah.
Is that I don't think it knew.
Yeah. And so I don't know how to tackle it. I don't know what to think of it. Because if it was directed at kids, I probably would have ranked it a little bit higher in my brain. But because it has such dark subject matter and it's okay for kids of a certain age, but yet it goes back and forth, I feel like I'm a little bit more critical of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah. All right. Well, anything else that you want to say? Like anything else that you liked or didn't like?
I think my favorite thing was the aesthetic of it. I thought that the acting was good overall, but I was ready for it to be done. Yeah. And it was only eight episodes, so that's probably not a good sign.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Like, I really liked it starting out. I thought it was a great idea. I thought it was well executed. But by the time we got to the end of The Reptile Room, I was like, ooh, okay, this is going to get old real fast. Mm-hmm. And it did.
Yeah,
it and did. I was ready for it to be done.
I think it would have been a lot better if it was one per episode.
One book.
Yeah.
Like 45 minutes to an hour per book.
Because I could have dealt with the repetition, I think, a little bit better.
I completely 100% agree.
Because I was spending so much time on that, and I knew how it was going to end.
Mm-hmm.
So when you know that, you're like, okay, well, now I'm just wasting my time.
Yeah, there were things, like, I liked some of the changes they made from the series to the movie to the books, where I liked that the narrator was more integrated, that he was in the scenes.
Yes.
He was in different
costumes.
I really liked
that.
I thought that was one of the best decisions that they made as the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that the secret society was much more at the forefront,
mm-hmm.
where it was clear that there was a secret society and that their parents were involved with the secret society. Because in the movie, it wasn't so much. And apparently in the books, like, it leads up to that. There's a build.
Okay.
So I kind of liked knowing all that stuff right at the beginning.
Yeah, I did not. From the movie, I had no idea about that stuff. So mm-hmm. that was interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to not read the books because I'm hopeful for season two.
Yeah, I think so. Hopefully they learn from certain things, maybe. Yeah. But we'll see.
I'm hoping that it's less repetitive in season two. And I'm sure some people of the books are like, that's the point!
I'm sure.
And I'm hopefully willing to admit that maybe I just don't get it.
That's true.
I'm completely...
I think this is one of those things that, like, you either get or you don't.
Yeah.
I think so.
I'm totally open to that possibility, mm-hmm. where maybe it's not for me or maybe I just don't get it. I liked it. I think I'm going to give it a 6 out of 10.
Hmm.
Which is not really exactly me saying I like it. I'll say 6.5 out of 10.
I'll give it a 4.
A 4 out of 10? I hate to break it to you, but you didn't like it.
No, I did not.
So it took 40 minutes, 50 minutes of us giving good things about it.
Well, I always try to, like, see the positive of things, but I guess not. I probably wouldn't watch it again. I'll have watched season two, but I don't know.
You're going to watch season two after giving it a 4 out of 10.
Sure.
Okay.
Is that too harsh?
I think you enjoyed it more than that.
You think so?
I
guess I laughed a little bit more than I'm probably giving it credit.
Well, I don't know. I'm not inside your head, so I don't know. But either way.
Should I give it a 5 just to be nice?
Sure.
Okay, I'll give it a 5 just to be nice.
Okay, well, that's our ranking. I mean, this is, like, don't take our ratings as gospel. Check it out for yourselves.
I was gonna say.
Watch it, because I think this is something where, like, everybody can find something that they like. You might like it more than us. You might like it less than us. I don't know, but, like, it's one of those things where I can't tell you if you're going to like it or not. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you, oh, you're going to love this or you're going to hate this. This is one of those things where it's just kind of like, give it a shot.
Yeah,
give
absolutely.
It a shot. Yeah. And let us know. Tell us what you thought of it. Go to thenerdparty.com/contact, or you can go to our Facebook at facebook.com/thenerdparty and check us out there. And we would love a review on iTunes.
Yeah, and also to give us some episode suggestions.
Yes, please.
So that we can bank some while... So when Baby Riddell comes, that you'll
we
have
can take
some
a rest.
Content. Yeah.
You can have content and we get to rest. So please let us know. And we thank you so much for listening and subscribing. And I love you.
I know.
Look away, look away. Look away, look away. The show will wreck your evening, your whole life and your day. Every single episode is nothing but dismay. So look away, look away, look away.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.